Blog Talk Radio.
And right on cue, the music does not work. I just need to get used to that. For some reason or other, it'll work when I go to break and work when I close the show. But when I first come on, the music does not play. Oh, well. So we will press on. Welcome to the Voice of Reason and Madison's CPC Open Rebellion Radio. I'm Michael Murphy, your host. And we're going to spend a little time tonight. This is going to be a little bit different because this is not a live show. This is a podcast. And we're probably going to start doing most of the shows as a podcast. I have difficulty sometimes getting guests that can be on at the time that my air slot is and all that. And so in reality, it'll probably work out a little bit better. Unfortunately, we're not able to take calls that way, but we are able to maybe be a little bit more diverse with the show. So hopefully that doesn't affect your listening, that you'll be able to kind of listen in. And as always, we invite you to, you can send me a Facebook message. You can send me an email through Madison's CPC.com. We'd love to hear from you. So just don't let that be an issue in relation to not being a live show. Typically, I spend about 15 minutes talking about the news of the day and past few days, but since this is not going to air today, it would be a little awkward maybe to be talking about news that's several days old. So I'm not going to do that. I am going to discuss just a little bit about I wrote an article today. In fact, it hasn't been published yet. Today is the anniversary, the 15th anniversary of the Patriot Act, that wonderful piece of legislation that was rushed through by a Republican president and cooperation with Democrats. We have to hurry up and pass it so we can find out what's in it. Kind of a deal. I discussed that a little bit in the article. It has been something that has been quite amazing to me to have so many people look at something like the Patriot Act and think that it's so important. And yet when people are pinned down, nobody can really come up with a single solitary act that has been thwarted. When you think about, I think I counted up, there's been 115 terrorist incidents since 9/11. Now that's everything. That's the Fort Hood shooter. That's the shooter down in Orlando. It's also some domestic terrorism, such as animal rights people who have gone out and done some things. I think the shooting of Dr. Tiller in Wichita was in there. So I mean, they covered everything that could be remotely considered terrorism was covered in that, in 115 instances in 15 years. In a country this size with 320 million people, we're not exactly being run over by terrorist attacks and events. So part of what I brought out in the article was we're much more likely to be hit by a car, die in your bathtub. You're even more likely to be killed by a toddler than you are by a terrorist. So we need to put things in perspective and understand what we're giving up, what we've allowed to happen with these searches that can be done under a broad FISA court warrant that allows whoever to get almost anything they want. And it's really an amazing loss of liberty, an amazing flagrant violation of our Fourth Amendment and other constitutional rights. During the presidential debates, there was actually an exchange between Rand Paul and Chris Christie. And I was pretty appalled at Chris Christie's attitude. It was like, "Look, the government's got to take care of it. The government's got to do it. If the government has to violate your rights to keep you safe, that's fine." And I'm going, really? And Rand Paul was equally, you could tell he was equally frustrated. He just couldn't believe it. It's an amazing place that we have found ourselves at. And our founders, I believe, would be quite dismayed that we have willingly let things like this occur. So I hope you'll, by the time you hear this, that article will have been out for several days. I hope you'll go back and take a look at it and check it out. I was going to look at a couple other things that I had written here. Sorry for the delay here. I wrote one called Friendly Fire. It was published today. So you'll know when this was recorded if you want to figure out, excuse me. Friendly Fire, of course, is an event that we look at that is war-related. When people are accidentally killed or injured or equipment is damaged, whatever like that, as a result of your own sides putting in the wrong coordinates. It could also be a malfunction of a piece of equipment or whatever. Anyway, when you hurt your own side, basically, is what it amounts to. And I equated it to what's been going on in the political world between the media. Media's willing accomplices, or they're actually are the vehicle by which it's done. And it is terribly frustrating to me as we try to have a dialogue about our differences in politics and in our views and our outlook. And we are attacked, we're belittled, we're called names, all sorts of stuff like that. And it's just terribly frustrating after, you know, coming from, I was an adult and working, under Reagan's presidency. And I distinctly remember him talking about the 11th commandment, you know, thou shalt say no ill of a fellow Republican. And while that may seem a little naive or something in today's world, it is not a bad way to look at things. I mean, what purpose do we serve when we attack people on our own side? It just doesn't make any sense. And so anyway, I hope you'll read that article and take a look at things. Tonight we are going to discuss something that's kind of near and dear to my heart, and that is abortion and the pro-life movement. And I have an old friend, a dear old friend, who's going to join me. Her name is Renee Pelor, and I'm just going to go ahead and bring her on right now. Renee, can you hear me?
I'm right here.
Oh, that's awesome. Yes. You sound wonderful.
Thank you.
I'm just telling everybody that you're an old friend, and we go way back, don't we?
Mm-hmm. We've known each other from school days.
Yeah, from school days. We used to go skiing together and all like that. And it's really neat. I guess Facebook is one of those things. It's been kind of nice to be able to reconnect over the years and stuff like that. So, I mean, we go back into the late 60s, early 70s as far as knowing each other. And it's really kind of cool to be able to chat from time to time. And actually, when I did an honor flight back east, you actually came and met me at the Air and Space Museum, didn't you? Isn't that where it was?
I've always admired that program and the fact that you were participating in that. And I lived right here. It was an honor to be there and to watch you with these veterans that were so excited to see the Air and Space Museum, the World War II memorial. In fact, I was just there today in Washington, D.C. It's a beautiful, beautiful memorial.
Yes, it is. Anyway, that was just a little kind of stroll down memory lane, so to speak. But mm-hmm. Renee and I, like I said, have known each other for a long time. And another interesting fact too is that after losing contact, you ended up as a flight attendant for United Airlines, didn't you?
Correct, for many years.
And,
international, right?
Yes, and I ended up as a captain with United Airlines.
Right, and, it's a small world.
Yeah, it's a small world. Although I don't recall, you know, if we ever flew together, it was one of those passing in the night kind of a thing that we didn't. We certainly didn't realize it. So, anyway. That's not
Such
what we
are.
That's
a big airline. Yeah.
It is. and I was never based in DC while you were, and I did actually mm-hmm. most of my mm-hmm. international flying was in Asia and South America. So, although mm-hmm. I did do quite a bit of Europe, but anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. Renee is very involved in the pro-life movement, and I just happened to kind of think of this the other day during the last debate. Donald Trump made a point of saying he was going to nominate justices that would repeal Roe v. Wade, and so with that sort of in mind, and with it seems like abortion kind of comes and goes in the news. I mean, it's almost like that third rail that people don't want to talk about because we end up with such almost coming to blows sometimes when you talk to somebody who is on the opposite side. And so mm-hmm. it's something that lots of times, like I said, it just kind of gets avoided. And I wanted to spend some time tonight. And since it's just going to be a podcast, we don't have to worry about any irate callers or anything like that, mm-hmm, and we can mm-hmm. just talk about things, and we're just kind of take it from there, and we're just going to kind of see what happens. So, tell us a little bit about right. your how did you get started in all this?
Well, you're so right when you say, Mike, that there's a lot of people who avoid talking about it because there's such passionate feelings on both sides. And with the children that we want to protect, we at the same time have to remember the women that are in this very difficult situation and really give them the compassion they need and deserve, because there are people that are really suffering during these times and the choices are so difficult. And if we don't show that compassion, which we have, then we're going to lose more babies when really deep down they oftentimes don't want to abort. Anyway, the reason I got into it are multiple, but I got into this movement years ago, first of all, because I just knew that protecting an innocent life in my core, I felt like that was the right thing to do, because we have a commandment, one of the Ten Commandments that says, do not kill, and it implies innocent people. You don't go around killing people.
Right.
So we want to protect people at all ages. I mean, why would a child that's 1 year old or an infant that hasn't been born yet, often called a fetus, which just in Latin means little one,
right.
little human. It's never been a duck. It's never been anything else but a human.
right.
So at any age, we just don't want to start killing innocent people. So it's something I feel very passionately about. And I also have a story where my mother was caught after World War II when she lost her most of her family. She lost her home. She lost everything. The last bomb that landed in Hamburg, Germany, hit very close to her house. And so they had survived pretty much everything, although it was a terrible time in everyone's life that was there. She was a child, and she got through it until then. And when that bomb landed, only a house away, 19 people were instantly killed. They had left the lights on because they were already celebrating the end of the war. That's how close it was. But it was
wow.
critical that they left lights out. Anyway,
right.
so she ended up immigrating out of Germany, away from all the disaster, and went into Canada. And in that place where she was very homesick, she met another German man who wanted to marry her, was engaged to her, but she just realized that there were some character issues and so forth that it would have made it a big mistake to go ahead with it. So she did end up getting pregnant accidentally. It was a absolute unplanned pregnancy. And her first thought was like, you can understand pretty much everybody who's caught in an unexpected pregnancy has a flash that goes through their mind probably of what should I do and what do I think about abortion here? And, you know, it sounds like an easy fix. And
well,
so she and her pain thought about it. And it was before it was legal.
Yeah, so especially back then, not only was abortion illegal, but it was, you know, the idea of an unmarried woman, you know, having a baby was mm-hmm. not – I mean, nowadays everybody doesn't bat an eye at it, but back then it was quite negative. Yeah.
Right. Well, she just didn't tell a lot of people. A lot of them assumed that she'd lost her husband in the war or something, and she just didn't clarify to everybody because it's not everyone's business eventually. But what she
True.
Did do is seek advice from a doctor who she thought could point her maybe even to an abortionist. She was open for a while to that just because she was in such a state. She had no real support there. There was no mother, no father. There was no money, really. And she took a risk of coming by herself just to, because it was such a disaster over there. She'd actually seen Hitler, and they knew he was awful. And they had almost been arrested once just for listening to BBC, the British Broadcasting.
Right.
It was so bad there that she couldn't wait to get out. Any rate, so here she was in this terrible predicament. And then she went and got this, went to this medical doctor who she respected and was highly regarded, and she did ask him what he would recommend and if he knew any people that did an abortion and could she get one if that was something that he could help her with. And he said that abortion is not only very disastrous for a woman, the child, it's also very disastrous for the woman that's having it. So if you're having a little baby girl, it's anti-feminist in that sense. You're killing women, but
right.
it's bad for every child, but it's also bad for the woman having the abortion, which is something he emphasized, and it's something you don't hear about very often. And he told her that medically, aborting causes an unnatural reaction in the body to this process. It's completely unnatural. And now they've found some links between breast cancer and abortion because it's such a sudden evacuation of this baby and termination of this pregnancy and this baby. And breasts develop during the later stages and even in the beginning of your pregnancy, go throughout the entire time. And to have that disrupted unnaturally like that, maybe the reason that there seems to be a much higher rate of breast cancer in women who've had abortions. So
right.
aside from that, he just said it isn't healthy overall. So if you want to do what's best for not only yourself and the baby, that would be the thing. You could even adopt the baby, but your body will have gone through the entire process naturally. So
right.
looking at it from that point of view, if she wanted to give it up for adoption, then that would be, so there are people waiting to adopt. It would be win-win. So
right.
anyway, she listened to him and she took that to heart, and she ended up deciding to go to term. And he did point her to a place, and other people did, where there were always in different organizations, Christian organizations, there were places you could go if there was an issue like that and get some care. And so for the very last month or so, she was in good hands. And I was born in Toronto, Canada. And we've been best friends ever since. She never did give me up for adoption. She, I guess, fell in love with me from day one, which I'm very grateful for. But
yeah.
there are so many situations where women don't have that option. And she just was determined. She knew some people that would help her find work, and she was determined to find work. And she had been a nanny once before, so she figured she could do that and that God would open up a door. She was a person who believed in the power of prayer. So that is why she went ahead and she put her faith in God, and she kept me, and we made it through. And she later had four more children, got married, had four more children. And now I've had five children. Four are already through college. So been married about 40 years. So it's just incredible how fast your life goes by.
And isn't it,
you
though?
Don't want to look back and have regrets about things like that. That's not to say God can't forgive anything. So many people know people who've had abortions that
right.
it's something that's difficult, but you can get through, right? So But anyway, so I got in it years ago with the March for Life. Have you ever been to that, Michael?
No, I have not.
That is something that is unbelievable. There are so many people. The press rarely covers it the way it deserves to be. Any other event that would bring in this many people into Washington would be covered from every angle and all day long. This has 500,000 people in it, close to a million. It's just incredible how full the mall, if you know Washington, D.C., that you know that part with the Air and Space Museum is, you've been to Washington. That whole mall area from where the Washington Monument is fills up so hugely. And then the walk or the march goes from there all the way up to the Capitol and in front of the Supreme Court. So it's quite impressive. And there are all kinds of groups. There are Students for Life. There are older people that have just always been committed since the day Roe versus Wade was passed.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting that, and of course, you know, I think probably most people know, but, and I can't remember the gal's name with, that was Jane Roe. Anyway, she did not actually have an abortion, did she?
She didn't end up having it. It took too long. And, you know, the thing about Roe versus Wade that makes it so remarkable is that Supreme Court justices, and not everyone ever even heard about this or read about it, but the truth is that they said this is only going to be enacted as long as you can't prove that this is a life, because they were saying this is a blob of tissue. This is just tissue that's being removed. So in reality, Roe versus Wade, almost, it doesn't really need to be rescinded. It's obsolete because we've proven that this is a person. This is life. This is not just a blob of tissue.
There's generally a heartbeat before you even know you're pregnant.
Right. Absolutely.
And then,
yep.
And brain waves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And brain waves very early as well. So the idea that it's just a blob of tissue is only for the people who just want to deny, the reality of things. You get the same thing with all sorts of stuff, with global warming and all sorts of things, like where people, they tell lies and they have things set up for the way they want it. And so they just refute anything that goes against it. They just say, oh, absolutely not. We can't have that. You know, they don't want to listen to reason. And your story is quite compelling and of course, very personal. There's also other stories. I've often wondered why, people say, well, surely they've come up with a cure for cancer. Why can't they do that? And I've wondered, did we maybe abort the person that was going to cure cancer?
We don't know that, do we? That's very likely. It's very possible. And people
very possible.
Who have, would have discovered along with that other enormous cure, cancer, but the AIDS, to everything.
Or a breakthrough in the energy or something like that. You know,
correct.
Andrea Bocelli's mother was told to have an abortion, and
that's correct.
And she chose not to, and we would have lost that beautiful voice. And another one that comes to mind is Steve Jobs.
Tim Tebow. Oh, Steve Jobs.
Not Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow too.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. That's
Steve
right.
Jobs.
Yeah, Steve
and
Jobs.
And also
Jack
Nicholson. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Very good.
I'm sorry.
Here's Johnny.
Yes. Do you know what there is too? These are people whose mothers were told to abort. Also, there just are so many cases. But if we just go by convenience in pregnancy, because it is inconvenient at times. So the unplanned pregnancies are not just with single women. Even people who are married, sometimes it just wasn't what you were expecting. But
absolutely.
If you do abort, you never know. What person, who was this person meant to be, and what were their gifts to the world? That's
exactly
right. And those are great examples, and they decided not to take the advice of their doctors, which is oftentimes completely wrong. In Andrea Bocelli's case, he did end up becoming blind, but he was already about 5 or 6 when he became blind. He was older.
Right.
So, but they thought he wouldn't be able to walk and all these things. So they've been wrong. And when do you not give the benefit of the doubt to a child?
Exactly.
So
yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say what we've come up with now is 3D imaging. The 3D images of the babies in the uterus are so incredible. There's no question that it's human. So they've gone beyond that. They're at the point now where they realize it's human, and which really Roe versus Wade should not even be in effect anymore. Should totally be repealed or just made obsolete because it's so clearly a human. And so, and going forward, it's a person and it deserves the right of life and to be protected. So if you want to read more, you can go to prolifeunity.com. It's a great organization that I've been involved with. And also, if you're an artist, you can go to artistsforlife.us. Artists for Life is a consortium of artists who are pro-life and who would like to be represented as a person standing for life. And oftentimes they donate a picture for the cause or they volunteer, but they wanted to be counted in even through their work. So it's a beautiful site, artistsforlife.us, and there's also Cherish Life Ministries. .com. There are so many places where you can get involved. And if there's one thing I would say is pray and volunteer because there's a place for anyone to help. It's a real tough battle. But with
exactly.
God, that doesn't stop us.
No, that's right. I think I read one time too, in talking about Roe v. Wade, I think I read one time as well that part of what swayed them in some of their discussions was the idea of if we want to step back in the early 20th century, there was quite a large movement of eugenicists and also population control people. And sometimes those overlap.
Population control is huge. That's right.
Population control came into play for this. So in reality, it was not done on the idea of a woman's right or whatever else like that. It was done as population control, and those sorts of things, you know, should scare the
babies out of older people too. We're not out of danger if they're going to start doing that. And when you can take the life of a 9-month baby right before it's ready to be born. And have it be legal. What's going to stop them from crossing that bridge at some point? Because this one was sick unexpectedly. So how fair is that? We wanted to kill it before it was born, had we only known. But we didn't know. So now why can't we kill it after it's born? You see, those are the things.
Right.
And when there's a doctor like Dr. Gosnell, who also, Kermit Gosnell, he was in jail now for
Baltimore.
Killing children right after they were born.
No, it wasn't Baltimore, it's Philadelphia,
wasn't it?
House
of Horrors.
Yeah.
It was, yes, that's correct. And he's been sentenced for murder. But these are what happen oftentimes behind closed doors. People don't always know. In his case, it was so extreme that it did get reported. But this is happening around the country where there is euthanasia with children that are born unplanned after an abortion. And then we have the other side where they live and for whatever reason they've survived through miracles, through intercession. In one case that I read about is where the doctor hadn't arrived yet and so she was scheduled for an abortion and it was so far along this precious baby came out unplanned early.
Right.
And he hadn't even gotten there. So the ladies in the office called the ambulance, and this woman survived. But mind you, she had been burned by saline. She had already been in the treatment for abortion, and they were just going to do the final part is extract the baby. But it had been soaked in this tainted saline, that they just knew would kill the child. So it's
heartbeat.
Right.
And this child survived. So these people are speaking against abortion now, and we have several cases like that. So it's just so clear. But what's scary, the scariest thing of all, is that people are willing to go along with it, knowing the truth now that this is a child. And now we're gotten so low that even though it's been happening for a while, unbeknown to most people, now we even know that they are selling body parts in these slaughterhouses. We have human slaughterhouses called the biggest company that does that, the company called Planned Parenthood. It's well known. It's enormous, and their number one way of making money is through abortions. So they say they do other things, but that's minimal. This is what brings their money in. And on top of that, they get over $1 million a day from the government. Over that, they get close to $500 million, if I'm not mistaken. But they get this on top of making their own money and running a profit, from what I understand. But do you know, it's a con, because the politicians grant this money to Planned Parenthood, and then Planned Parenthood kicks it back to the politicians to help them win for their campaigns.
Right.
So this is a vicious way of conning the voters out of money for political gain. And there's so many underhanded things like this going on. And selling body parts fits right in there. There's a book I recommend by Abby Johnson called Unplanned. And I'm going to plug that for Abby because it's outstanding. She was a Planned Parenthood director and had the best intentions, went to college and thought she was helping the world by joining them and working for them. And the reality, when she saw the sonogram of how a human life was actually being terminated in front of her eyes when she was asked to come in and help, you know, beyond the office work is going in, is just mind-boggling how it affected her and how it would affect most people. It's the people that don't get affected that you have to wonder about.
Right.
And they're still doing it for money, of course, blood money.
I've not read her book, but I have seen her interviewed, and it's quite it's very good. Like you said, she bought the thing about it just being a blob of tissue. She never really gave it any thought. And then all of a sudden she saw it on the sonogram, and she went, holy cow, there's a baby. You know, and like I said, from that moment, she was horrified.
Mortified. And, you know, here's another thing for people who've been outside of clinics that they know are doing abortions, and they've prayed there. They've sometimes held signs. And being compassionate is so important, because she said going in every day as a director, she passed these people, and they were nice, most all of them, and they were always inviting and welcoming. So when this reality hit her, she knew she could go to them, because they had always been nice to her. They didn't treat her horribly. They knew that there are some people in there that haven't seen the reality of what's happening. They actually think they're okay doing what they are doing. So if we treat them with hate, because we do hate the murder of children, you know, but we can't treat everybody that's involved, you know, like they are murderers, because they don't even realize sometimes, in Abby's case anyway, that they were really slaughtering humans in their denial. But more and more, though, they do realize they're slaughtering humans, and that's a really frightening part of it. I mean, it's become so clear. And as you know, years and years ago, I was in medical imaging and was board certified and licensed in that, and worked in hospitals. So I was able to see sonograms in their early stages, and it was very hard to see and make out a baby. You could, but it was difficult.
Right.
And now, oh my goodness, it's like night and day. You can really see the features. There's just no question.
Right.
This is not just a blob of tissue. The questions are, in some cases, when do they feel pain? And that's debated, but it's certainly fairly early on, because they react to needles and things, and they get away from them. You can see them moving away.
Right. Yeah, the invasion into their space, so to speak. And, you know, and you touched on something earlier about I've seen instances in the news and all like that where young people have you know, maybe hidden a pregnancy or whatever like that, and then they've just disposed of the child, you know, put it in the trash or whatever
yes.
like that, you know. And
right.
they don't see anything wrong with it because we've mm-hmm. we've got years and years now of this killing them, you know, ripping them out of the womb and doing it. So like you said, to them it's a very mm-hmm. small threshold to step over and have it be born and then do that. You know, and so
yeah.
I think it's been a cheapening of life that has really gone a long way towards, you know, messing up our society and things like that. And then you read about people. His name escapes me. I should have written it down earlier because I was thinking of it. It was somebody in, mm-hmm. in early on in Obama's administration who actually believes in the until a child can begin to reason, that they could be aborted.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking up to 3 to 5 years old. So, like
yeah,
you said, if they turn up to have some kind of a physical defect, or maybe it's just not working out. You know, it's
exactly.
cramping my style.
It's unbelievable right now.
Yeah.
Things are happening, and so down the road, more unbelievable things will be happening. And if
right.
we don't get
so
the right people in office, these things will become a reality. As unreal as that seems, it can
and
happen.
And as you mentioned earlier too about the aged people, same thing. You know, you got Alzheimer's, maybe you've got some other health issues
mm-hmm.
or whatever like that. Hey, your life's, you had a good life. It's okay. You know, you're going to suck up a lot of resources for us young folks. Now
mm-hmm.
it's time for you to move on.
That's it.
You know, and so
and
that
is a very hard stage to deal with in many cases, and you would think just put them down like they're animals, but we're not
right.
animals. We're made in the image of God, and he
right.
said, do not kill. And this is a testimony of a society is how we treat the weakest among us. And so these are people that in some cultures, they were very revered, even when they were older and unable, because they knew the contribution older people made. You know, many died young and weren't able to be around to contribute. But the older people were revered because they did. They had these lives. And they were just given that kind of respect. But now, if we just think of it in terms of the cost, then that's very cold-hearted. And what we need is just limits on maybe some of the artificial things. And that's falling into place now. That if a person doesn't want excessive means to be kept alive, that they would, where they would die naturally, allow them to do that. But to actually kill somebody
right.
goes against what the Bible says, which is thou shalt not kill.
Right. And, you know, people are always throwing up the deal of the rape and the incest and all like that, which number one is probably like, I think I've read it's like 0.1% of all abortions. So, I mean, it's
a very, very minuscule amount.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And even then I've had a chance to meet somebody who was the product of a rape. And I read an article one time. It was a letter. A woman wrote and she told about the fact that she had been raped. And she
mm-hmm.
was told to have an abortion, and this was post 73,
mm-hmm.
so it would have been legal. She was told to have an abortion,
mm-hmm.
and she did not.
Mm-hmm.
She went ahead and gave birth. She had still, at this point, when she was writing the letter, had not married, and she was,
mm-hmm.
and her son was 12. And
mm-hmm.
she said, "He's the love of my life." And somebody said,
oh.
"How can that be? How can that be? You know, that every time you look at him, you see the guy that raped you." Know, she says, "No, every time I look at him, I see the son that I love and who loves me."
God is a God of miracles, and there's another miracle. In fact, on a human level, you would think that she would hate this child because he's a representative of someone who violated her terribly, and yet that's been transformed, and he's now the biggest love of her life.
And it was also her choice. She chose. We lots of times, you know, like look at things and choose to look at the negative, or we can choose to look at the positive.
Mm.
And some people
right.
are always looking at the negative and always looking at, you know, a reason to feel bad and a reason to feel cheated.
Mm.
Yet other people look and see light and goodness. And that's what she chose to do. And I think
Isn't
it's a, I think it's
beautiful.
A marvelous. It's a mar- yeah,
story.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I actually met somebody was in that position too, that it was remarkable because the three of them worked in the same restaurant and somebody had told me about them and I talked to them quickly. It was a mother with her daughter and her son. And they were immigrants and they were just making a living and trying to get ahead. And they all worked in this restaurant together and the son was the result of a rape. And she said her own parents blamed her. She was about 14 when that happened. And she, it was a relative. And they did not want to cause turmoil in the family. And they blamed her. And she would not let that baby go because she knew that that was a human life. On some level, she just knew it would be wrong. But she didn't have to keep it. But she did. And they're right. Very close. And I saw this, not only that. He's, you know, the only man there now. She's got a daughter. And so he's very protective of his mother and his sister, and they're very close. And it is amazing how things transform and how that's an independent life. And it's not guilty of the sins of the father. That is a different right. child, a different human.
Yep. And on another note, I think it's interesting how, you know, in Europe, Europe's abortion laws are much, much more restrictive than ours. And it's interesting that there's so many things. When I look at Europe, I think of Europe as being more liberal, progressive, you know, more social, you know, whatever like that. But and they are in many and they are in many ways. But when it comes to abortion, I think I read that I think it was in 2013, abortion, for instance, in Ireland was completely illegal. And I think about 2 or 3 years ago, they only allowed it for the life of the mother. Mm-hmm. And then in most cases, after a fairly short time, I mean, it's 12 weeks, 9 weeks, 20 weeks, things like that. It's illegal for any reason.
Europe. Or 6 countries in the world that allows abortion up to 9 months. It's
right.
unbelievable that here in the land of the home of the brave, the land of the free, life and liberty is celebrated and we're destroying future generations. It's over 50 million. It's close to 60 million since Roe versus Wade started. It's mind-boggling. It's more than all the wars. It is, you know, we're talking millions, not thousands. And so this is a real plague on our country. And you may notice that since we started doing this in the early 70s, our country has really had some real downsides. And it seems to me that as we've turned away from God's values and God's laws, that we've suffered more. The suicide rate goes up. The violent rate goes up. We never had school shootings before Roe versus Wade. Now, if we can be violent enough to kill children before they're born in the most sacred and protected place that they should ever be, which is the womb of the mother, we invade that and we're violent and to the point of death. We are now a real violent culture and we think of ourselves as being so high and mighty, and yet we are killing the most innocent of humans. It's mind-boggling. So how is that a surprise when children are now violent?
Right, exactly. And I agree 100%. We've watched our society, you know, once again, we go back to the early progressive era in the early 20th century when there was the first move came afoot to do away with God and a lot of that influence. And they started trying to get, you know, change our history. That was when they started getting rid of, you know, mention of God and things like that in our founding and all. There was a little bit of a resurgency in the 50s because that was when they added under God and pledge. And that was also when they made "In God We Trust" was the national motto. So there was a little bit of a pushback there in the 50s after World War II to kind of bring God back in. But then, like you say, we kind of got into that deal of the free love, era and all like that when we were in school and then Roe v. Wade right after that. And everything has just gradually, you know, been pulling away. It's very clear historically when nations have turned their back on God, they have suffered. We are in a position, I feel like we're either going to suffer to force us back, or maybe we'll wake up and we'll turn back ourselves. But either way, it's kind of like there's no atheist in foxholes, you know. When things get bad enough, people are going to turn back and go, hey, okay, I guess I was wrong.
Exactly. Look what happened after 9/11. The churches were pretty full right after that.
Yeah, for about 2 weeks.
But it's interesting. People realize that they need a higher power when things like this happen. And we've been sort of footloose and fancy free, and we turn our back on the one who gave us the life in the first place. So if we give God the benefit of the doubt, and number one, just make contact with God and pray, we start a great process going, because God, he honors us giving him the benefit of the doubt. It wouldn't be called faith if it was perfectly clear like a rock on the sand. So we do have to take a step. And all life is valuable. And, you know, now they're trying to divide us into this life matters or this life more. But whether we're black or we're red or we're white, all life matters, including fetuses. They matter. They're human, miniature people before they're born. And they do surgery on them. They're patients in some cases. In hospitals, they have their own name, their own armband, and they have their own registry as a different person. They're not considered the same person as the mother. They have their own blood type. They have their own fingerprints. They're not the mother. The mother is certainly a host of the baby, but they're two separate people.
Right. And, you know, and they talk about all, you know, Black Lives Matter, but the way I understand it, more black babies are aborted in New York City than are born.
And there's also more black on black violence than anything.
Exactly.
So here we are right back to violence. We need to stop being violent, and we need to start with abortion. And really the first right is the right to life before the right to vote or the right to carry arms, which are all very important things. And
freedom,
all
of
those matter. You have to be alive. And that is very, very, should go without saying that we protect life. And when we turn our back on that, then it's no wonder when bad things happen. And my prayer is that people of this nation, whether they're old or young, regardless if they're in the age where they're going to carry children or not, that they would just pray for this country and pray for an end to abortion. It would be wonderful if people refused to do it, even if it was legal. We certainly answer to a higher authority in the end anyway.
Right. That's absolutely right. You know, there have been periods in our nation's history, you know, early on, you know, just pre-revolutionary period, where there was a turning to God or a returning to God, however you want to look at it, and then
revival.
After the a revival, and then again around the Civil War time, leading up to Civil War and after, and then of course then in you know, World War II, there certainly was, because, you know, like you said, every time there's calamity, we have a tendency to look to God, you know. There was a little bit of a resurgence of it after 9/11. Like I said, that one to me didn't seem like it lasted very long. People flew flags. They went to church, but it was about 6 months. It seemed to me things were kind of back to normal, you know. So people didn't get hurt bad enough. And like I said, I'm afraid what's going to have to happen is there going to have to be enough pain that lasts long enough that people are going to realize that, you know, what, I'm not in charge, and I need somebody beyond me to help with this. So
instead of taking it away from him, putting ourselves in overall. Right.
Exactly.
I hope that day comes sooner than later, because we don't want bigger catastrophes. This country is so exceptional that being founded on the freedom of religion to honor God, what a wonderful country. We weren't perfect. We certainly eventually ended up having some slaves for too long. It was bad, but we corrected it here. And thank God we did. And every life matters, and every life is precious to God. There's another friend I know named Peter Shin, who is, and I've been involved with his organizations, which are some of the ones I mentioned here. And it's just mind-boggling how much he's done in his past 30 years, just dedicating his life to helping promote life. Because there's such a need, and he does a lot of media coverage, and he's all about getting the word out, and people make a difference. Don't ever think that this is too big of an issue. Every life
right.
counts, and just like every one person, you can make the world a better place by making one person's life better. So
absolutely.
In the same way, you can help this cause by giving an hour or supporting a mother. We need to love the mothers. And there's a crisis pregnancy center, or online you can go, where people are helping to get better laws into play that will protect life and the mother as well, because these abortion facilities are usually notoriously horror houses, and they're dirty and filthy, and it's really a place of death, not a place of life. So you can imagine how bad they are. They're impersonal.
Right.
They're cold normally. So, and even if they were wonderful with good music playing, what happens there is unspeakable. Blood money
exactly.
is their currency. Right.
Yep.
So we just need to love the mothers, and there are places we need to help them stay. They need help at every level. So once they have the baby, there's also, I want to mention, post-abortion counseling available. So we look at the woman that is in the process of making the decision. But even the women who've made a decision and they regret it, or they really struggle with that decision, because suicide rates go up, and so does bad behavior. So drug use goes up,
right.
alcohol drinking goes up. The statistics for women post-abortion are not good. And so, you know, they are able to come for free counseling most times with loving people. So there's unbelievable opportunities for volunteering and helping and getting involved and doing things for others. That really is what makes people the happiest in their life too, is when you help others.
I couldn't say it better. The idea that abortion may be legal, but that doesn't mean
mm-hmm.
you have to have one. And like I said, if we can make it, where it's easier on these women, and
mm-hmm.
Show some compassion to them and give them some options, give
mm-hmm.
them some hope and all like that, that can make a big difference. And if we can't overturn the law, we can at least minimize its impact.
Right. That's exactly right. Someday, maybe you can talk to my mother as well. She's 92. God has blessed her with remarkable good health. And she's still a very staunch advocate for life. She is a decision that she's so happy she made, and she tries to help other people see the light of it. I always like to look at Sarah Palin's example too, that here she was the governor, she'd had kids, and here she was having a Down syndrome child. They're probably
right.
the most commonly aborted, children. So that I just admire the fact that she didn't try to do that, you know, under the table with nobody would have known kind of thing. And I kept it a secret. She went ahead in spite of the fact that she knew it would change her life forever. See, God
right.
gives us special assignments, and she knew that God was giving her a special assignment. It lasted much longer than running for vice president. She had her priorities right.
Yep.
And the media likes to put her down, but she deserves credit.
And I think Trigg has probably given her a lot of joy. It was it's not
mm-hmm.
probably not an assignment. It's been an enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm saying special assignment in the sense that it's a good thing. It's like you've been honored to do something wonderful. But he's not a burden is what you're saying. He's a joy.
Yeah, exactly.
But people can have difficult times that also turn into joy. It's not to say every day is a cakewalk, for sure.
Right.
But definitely the joy outweighs the pain in these cases. And so, yeah, I mean, we need to trust God. And if we need the strength to get through something, he's the source of that. And the amazing thing is, he's the greatest renewable source of energy there is.
Yep.
And you don't hear it talked about every day, but it should be.
Yep. Well, and it's people like our listeners and you and I that are there to make it, you know, a physical manifestation of what he is, and the best we can. Of course, we fall short, but we do the best we can.
We do the best we can. Yes.
Yeah, and hopefully we do the best we can. We don't make excuses, but I'm pretty well out of time. It's been a pleasure, Renee, and I'm glad that you are so involved in this and so passionate about it. And we hope that and pray that everybody can take something good from this, and maybe we'll make an extra phone call or write an extra email or do something, like you say, get involved with a crisis center, do something where you can, you know, where we can help. And
vote. God, it's very important.
And
the next Supreme Court justices
Absolutely.
Are pro-life.
Absolutely.
So please don't think that your vote doesn't matter. It matters more than ever. It's a matter
Absolutely.
Of life and death. Yes.
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you for all
Absolutely.
You're doing to make this world a better place, Mike. And thank you to the listeners who take the time to listen and care about this country and life.
Great. I appreciate it, Renee. Thanks and God bless.
God bless you too. Bye-bye. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye. Well, folks, that's our show for this evening. We hope you've enjoyed it. Take a few moments to check around and see if there's some way that you can make a difference in somebody's life. You just never know who you might touch. And maybe the life that you save will be the one that grows up and cures cancer or AIDS or has some other major breakthrough that is good for society and good for us. So just take a little time to do that, and remember that we're not alone in this world. Good night, everybody. God bless you.